I'm Andy Thompson, and you're listening to the Mid-Month Marketing Magic Hour with Daniel Levis. Strap yourselves in, boys and girls, and grab a pen and paper, because you're about to be transported behind the velvet ropes to listen in on a cutting-edge conversation with some of the sharpest marketing minds on the planet. No fluff, no filler, just immediately actionable tips, techniques, and strategies you can put to work right after listening. And be sure to head over to www.daniellevis.com and grab your copy of the profoundly powerful free report, The 9 Forbidden Keys to Info Marketing Success, where you'll discover the advanced success keys that make the most profitable info marketing businesses tick. Now, on to the show. Daniel, why don't you tell us what we have on tap for today?
All right. Well, hey, guys. Welcome to Mid-Month Marketing Magic Hour. My special guest today is Mr. Todd Brown. And Todd Brown has been knee-deep in the direct response marketing trenches for over a decade. He's on speed dial with many of the big dog internet marketers out there. He was a faculty member on Jeff Walker's original $10,000 per person product launch manager training. He shared the stage with luminaries such as Michael Gerber and Brian Tracy at premier sales and marketing conferences around the country. He was formerly a partner with Rich Sheffern and helped mastermind the Strategic Profits brand and created and launched over 15 profitable front-end marketing funnels and co-created the wildly successful Founders Club. Todd has extensive experience outside of the IM realm as well, creating the first patent-pending multimedia marketing system for chiropractic physicians. Todd took one of his own companies to the position of number one provider of marketing and business growth training for bodywork professionals. And he also consults with industry leaders in a broad cross-section of the direct response marketing world. So as you'd expect, our guest today is one smart cookie. And the reason I've invited Todd to be a guest on Mid-Month Marketing Magic Hour is to share some of his expertise on funnel creation. And Todd is recognized as the foremost authority on engineering wildly profitable marketing funnels that produce leads and customers, often at triple to quadruple the average value experienced by competitors. I want some of that, and I bet you guys do too. So here we are, Todd. Welcome to the call.
Thanks so much for having me, Daniel.
So let's start at the very beginning. What is a marketing funnel?
So the way I would describe a marketing funnel is it is what you communicate to a prospect from the first point of contact all the way through the transaction. What you actually communicate to the prospect to create the desire for your product or offer, what you do to position, like what you do, say, how you say it, when you say it, where you say it, why you say it, to position ultimately what you're going to offer to the prospect as the absolute best solution for their current needs. And so that's really how I characterize a marketing funnel.
So how is your approach to marketing funnels different to other marketing funnel gurus, say Ryan Dice or one of the other guys out there teaching this kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, first let me say, you know, so Ryan is a friend of mine, and he puts out some great stuff. He's got great training, as does a lot of the other, real deal marketing experts that are sharing some of their insights as it relates to funnels. Where I differ significantly is in the strategic element of building a profitable marketing funnel. And what I mean by that is that what most people are teaching about what a marketing funnel is that they teach the tactical and structural setup of a funnel, meaning often what gets presented as a funnel is, all right, you're going to have a main front-end offer that's going to be the product that you offer to prospects to get them to go fill out an order form and enter their credit card information. And then they'll say, all right, and so, as part of your funnel, you need to have a series of upsell and or downsell offers, and then ultimately leading to a thank you page. You need to have a series of, email follow-up messages and a variety of different email sequences in there. And that's what ends up getting presented as a marketing funnel. But the reality is, and this is what I try to drill into my clients and students, is that it's much more about what is getting said and what is being communicated through those different steps and through those different stages that ultimately determines how successful your marketing funnel is going to be. And, you know, yesterday, ironically, I was putting together a webinar and I thought about this question, and I'm going to throw this out because I think that it highlights this point. And the question that I threw out on the webinar was, you know, look, why is it that if we lined up 12 different successful marketers, I'm talking, you know, 7- and 8-figure earners on the internet, and we ask them to elaborate on their funnel structure, meaning what are you offering on the front end and what is the price point and then how are you offering upsells? If we lined up 12 different marketers, we'd get 12 different structures in terms of how they're running their funnels. Some marketers are using an ultra low priced front end offer, and then they're going to an upsell that is, you know, 3 times the price of the front end offer. Other marketers are starting with, let's say, a free offer, a free plus shipping offer on the front, and then going to a soft offer as the first upsell. Other marketers are driving people into a webinar with an application offer at the end. Others are driving straight into an evergreen 4-part video series, and on and on, right? We would get 12 different tactical structures, yet all 12 are being successful. Now, why is it that you can have lots of marketers that will learn those different structural setups for those different funnels, but yet they don't reap the same rewards as the top marketers? They're not experiencing the same level of sales conversions, the same level of customer acquisition. Well, the answer is because it's more about the strategic setup of the funnel and far less about whether you're starting with a low-priced offer, a high-priced offer, a webinar, a PDF, a soft offer. You know, it's more about what are you saying and how are you saying it to your market to compel them to buy? And how are you grabbing their attention, getting their interest, maintaining their interest, showing them that what you have to say is something different, something unique, something fresh, and then ultimately presenting a unique and irresistible offer to the market? And so that's what I focus on with my higher level clients, is structuring the right message to captivate your audience, to create their desire for your product or service even before you talk about your product or service, and then ultimately present your offer with extremely high conversion rates.
So one of the funnel success concepts that you talk about quite a bit is something called marketplace sophistication. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so marketplace sophistication was really popularized very early on by Eugene Schwartz, one of the great ad men of all time, the author of a phenomenal book that everybody should buy and read at least once a year called Breakthrough Advertising. And Gene Schwartz talked about this concept of marketplace sophistication. And it's kind of baffling to me that very few people talk about it and teach it, because I believe it's one of the most valuable things that every marketer can learn. I think that it's really one of those things that's at the bedrock of creating a wildly profitable marketing funnel. And marketplace sophistication is basically shows us that as prospects in any marketplace, in any niche, for any product, as they are exposed to more and more advertising appeals, as they're exposed to more and more promises and more statements of benefit, they become less and less responsive to those similar appeals. And over time, in order to get those prospects to respond, to buy, in order to get their attention and keep their attention and get them to respond, you need to have your marketing message evolve as they reach higher and higher levels of marketplace sophistication. And so just to give an ultra quick example of how marketplace sophistication works, the example that I like to give is with the fat burner. So, you know, these pills that people can take that help stimulate their metabolic rate and help them burn more fat and lose weight. So at one point in time, there were no fat burners on the market. People were still interested in losing weight and getting thin and whatnot, but there were no fat burners. And then some company, some entrepreneur released the very first fat burner to the market. Well, at that point, because there were no other fat burners that were being advertised and marketed, prospects were at level one marketplace sophistication. There are five different levels, and at level one, the only thing that needed to be said when marketing and advertising and selling that fat burner was, take this pill and you'll lose weight. And that was it. Well, then what happened, which is what happens in every market, in every niche, is competitors came along, saw that that company was making money, and they began to knock off those, you know, that claim. And so what happened is that prospects no longer responded to the simple appeal of take this pill and you'll lose weight, because they saw it already. They were presented with it, and now they were being presented with it more and more from competitors. And so they evolved, so to speak, to the next level of marketplace sophistication. And what you see at that level is savvy marketers will then evolve and expand their claim. So in the example of the fat burner, marketers, instead of just saying take this pill and you'll lose weight, it became take this pill and you'll lose 7 pounds. And then of course competitors, same thing, they follow right in stride with that. And what happens is at level two, you see marketers that just expand the claim more and more. So take this pill and you'll lose 10 pounds, take this pill and you'll lose 20 pounds. But like what happens at in every market when you're at level two, you reach a point where simply expanding the claim no longer becomes believable. It no longer becomes credible. For example, today, if we were trying to sell a fat burner, we couldn't say, take this pill and you'll lose 50 pounds in 24 hours, right? Because not only would that be a lie, but it's no longer believable. It's no longer credible. So at level two, what happens is prospects, you know, as a marketer, you can no longer simply expand the claim, because prospects are no longer responding to that because it's no longer believable or credible. And so that's when prospects reach this level three in marketplace sophistication, where marketers then, in order to keep response, they need to introduce what's called a unique mechanism. And the unique mechanism is really just the unique component, piece, part, system, process of your offer that delivers the results. And so going back to our fat burner example, in that world, there was a point in time when the first fat burner introduced this ingredient called Garcinia Cambogia. That was unique to that first product, and that's why that fat burner sold like crazy, because it was the Garcinia that was the unique mechanism. It was that unique element of that fat burner that was burning the fat, elevating metabolic rate, and helping people lose weight. Well, of course, just like before, other companies introduced Garcinia Cambogia into their products. Today you can go to Amazon, do a search, and you'll find dozens of products that include Garcinia Cambogia. And so that's when prospects reach level four. At level four is when the marketer has to then expand on the unique mechanism. So in the example of Garcinia Cambogia, it becomes, you know, we've got pharmaceutical grade, or we've got twice the potency, or ours is cold pressed, or ours is packaged in a capsule instead of a tablet, or blah, blah, blah. And so that's, you know, and then level five is when it's no longer about the product, then it becomes about the prospect. So in the case of our fat burner, it becomes like, you know, the marketing message evolves to, are you sick and tired of taking fat burners, exercising, dieting, and not losing any weight, right? And so the thing for everybody to understand is that before you can even think about creating your marketing funnel message, before you even think about what it is that you're going to say to grab your market's attention and to hold their attention, to ultimately lead them to your offer, you've got to understand what their level of marketplace sophistication is, because you have to understand what messages would be immature, meaning, you know, are they at level four and you're introducing a level one message? And to just finish up with that example, and hopefully this answers the question, you know, what would happen today if we partnered together to release a new fat burner, and what we rolled out with was a level one marketing message to that market, where all we said was, take this pill and you'll lose weight? Well, what would happen? What would happen is we'd get clobbered and we wouldn't sell anything, because that is what I call an immature marketing message. It's a marketing message that is at a level of sophistication that is far below where the marketplace is at. And so it's no longer compelling, it's no longer interesting, it's no longer new, fresh, different, unique, and therefore it doesn't generate the response of sales and new customers that that everyone's looking for.
Now, Gene wrote that book in the 60s, pre-internet, before we had any of this incredible technology that we have now. And so my follow-on question would have to be, what's different about market sophistication, assessing it, gauging it, pandering to it, and so forth today, and what's the same?
Well, I think the first of all, the overriding principle is identical, right? Because, you know, people are people. We have the same primary driving driver emotions that we've had since the beginning of time, right? People, you know, it's I think, you know, everybody knows sales 101, marketing 101 is, you know, people are driven by decisions. People make decisions out of emotions, and then they rationalize those decisions later on with logic. And so the overriding principle of marketplace sophistication has not changed, and it never will, right? This idea that, look, if you want a marketing message that is compelling, you've got to be saying something different, unique, compared to what it is that they've seen before. And ultimately, let me say this, Daniel, what is essential is that you prevent what I commonly refer to as mental opt-out. And mental opt-out is when a prospect comes to your funnel, the entry point of your funnel. For most people, that's going to be some form of a lead capture page. And you've got to make sure that you prevent mental opt-out, meaning you prevent prospects from reading your headline, you know, being exposed to the idea behind your marketing message, the idea behind what you are trying to communicate to them. And you've got to prevent them from saying, oh, I've seen that before. Oh, I've heard that. Oh, more of that, more of the same. Oh, I know about that already. Oh, others are already talking about that. And so, you know, that will never change as it relates to marketing. What has changed is the process that we use as marketers to assess the marketplace sophistication of different markets and niches. Because today it's easier than it's ever been, certainly a lot easier today than it was for Eugene Schwartz, because we have the ability to see what it is that your competitors, are saying to the market, what appeals they're using, what promises they're making, what hooks they're using. And we have the ability to do that from the beginning of their funnel, even at the earliest stages of traffic generation, media buying. There are, you know, resources and tools that we can use to see what banner ads they're running, what PPC ads they're running, what Facebook ads they're running. We have the ability to look at all their creative to assess what are the appeals, what are the promises. We also have the ability to see how long they've been running those ads, to see which appeals are working, right? Because we know that for direct response marketers, if they're continuing to run an ad or a banner, that it's obviously producing for them, and producing can mean a lot of different things depending on the maturity of their company. But we have the ability to see what is being exposed to prospects to get a better, quicker handle on their marketplace sophistication.
So theoretically, then a product could be made, could be entirely unique, fresh, exciting, and the whole process of sophistication is much, much faster than it would have been back in Gene's day. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's fair to say, you know, I think that, first of all, I think, you know, the understanding the importance of uncovering marketplace sophistication for each specific prospect, product, niche, and so on. Understanding the importance of that, I think, is one of the most valuable lessons, like I said earlier, that every marketer can learn. And I think that it is critical to, it's critical that you build a message on the right level of sophistication. At the same time, it's the kind of thing that you can easily uncover in a single day, almost in a single setting, because it's much more about what are and have competitors said in terms of promises, appeals, benefits, results to prospects than it is anything else. And the last point that I want to make is that this goes beyond the idea of understanding your prospect, right? Understanding your prospect is critical, of course, that goes without saying, right? It's something that gets talked about virtually all the time when we talk about creating successful, profitable direct response campaigns. You've got to know your market. You've got to understand them psychologically. You've got to know their fears, their desires, what keeps them awake at night, their dominant resident emotion, right? You've got to know all those things to know really what buttons to push, so to speak. But marketplace sophistication goes beyond that because it helps you to understand what have they heard before and seen before in terms of marketing appeals, in terms of marketing ideas, in terms of the idea that you are building a marketing funnel on. And every marketing funnel, whether the marketer is aware of it or not, every marketing funnel is built on an idea. That idea can be a crappy idea, it can be a good idea, it could be a big idea, meaning an idea that is just, you know, grabs them by the lapel, pulls them in, and captivates them because it is new, it's fresh, it's different, it's exciting, it's built on the foundation of a big promise, it's easily understandable. But the reality is that before you can even decide what that idea is, you need to know marketplace sophistication.
Sure. And I think a lot of people are starting to really look at competitive intelligence. But let's talk about swiping, because I think a lot of people are looking at competitors and they end up swiping. And I'll tell you an interesting little story. I did a 30-minute consult for somebody recently, and he showed me two VSLs. One VSL was the market leader's VSL, and the other was his VSL. And the market leader's VSL, he said, was pulling in, I don't know, $300,000 a month or some nice number like that. And his VSL, which was copy-wise, the copy, basically a knockoff of the leader's. Different look and feel, but copy-wise, virtually the same. And this guy's VSL wasn't even breaking even. Now, not an entirely fair question for you, Todd, but because you can't see the VSLs, but what might be going on in a situation like this? Why does one VSL with, you know, two VSLs, virtually identical copy, identical hook, identical promise, why is one killing it and the other one isn't?
Well, that's a tough question to answer, but I think I would say, assuming that, you know, first of all, let me say this. I think it's completely unethical to swipe copy. I think that, and this was something that I really didn't fully understand, you know, very early on, you know, 12, 11 years ago when I was really starting to build my own swipe files in-house. I think first and foremost, swiping somebody's copy virtually verbatim is completely unethical, and so don't do it. There's tremendous value in swipes in a couple of areas. One for me is, you know, it's extremely valuable to look at winning offers, especially winning offers, winning copy, winning, you know, marketing campaigns, VSLs, for example, in your marketplace, to get an idea. Of course, let's put marketplace sophistication aside, right? To get an idea of what are the benefits that VSL, that offer is touching on? What are the emotional hot buttons? You know, what are the psychological triggers that they are leveraging? So really, in essence, it's kind of not so much about the specific copy, but what is the specific copy doing, right? And what is the purpose of that specific copy? There's value in that. There's also value if you're really just starting out in looking at VSLs and long-form sales letters that are winning, you know, that are profitable and that are doing well, by getting a better understanding of the flow and kind of the format, if you will. In other words, what's being done first, what's being done second, what's being done third, and so on. What is the kind of the underlying structure of the sales letter or the VSL? And so when studying competitors, that's certainly one of the things to look at. Even when you're not studying competitors, but you're simply studying winning marketing campaigns outside your niche, which is also extremely valuable. Like I routinely, every week will go through what is what was at least at one point in time, if not now, a control, a sales letter that either mailed over and over and over and over, whether it be a long form sales letter or even a VSL. And what I'm looking for is, again, I'm looking for that underlying structure of what are they doing? Like, what are they saying and why are they saying it? And that's really the value. It's not necessarily to swipe specific copy, because that you don't want to do that. You want to look for that underlying structure. Now, in to answer your question, which is somewhat of a difficult question to answer, I would say that all else being equal, if there are two marketers that are running virtually identical VSLs in terms of copy, offer, you know, guarantee, premiums, you know, maybe even as far as, you know, one marketer, you know, snaked the other's, you know, positioning statement, you know, I don't know, assuming that they're virtually identical, one of the things that I would immediately look at is the targeting. And so who is the audience that the struggling marketer who swiped the other marketer's copy, who is he or she targeting? Because, right, as you know, Daniel, you know, in terms of direct response, you know, in order of importance, it goes list, offer, copy, right? And so, meaning that the first and most important element that's going to determine your success is who are you talking to? And who is the audience? And who is the prospect that is hearing your message? And so everything could be virtually identical, and exposing those same messages to different audiences can produce wildly different results. And so in that case, that would be the first thing that I would look at, and I would immediately assume that there's got to be, you know, a targeting issue going on there.
Yeah, very, very, very well said. Could even be something subtle as the endorsements that one is getting and the other may not be getting, or just the way the list is being approached.
So I think really quick, Daniel, let me say one other thing, and I think it was great. You were there. We were together a handful of weeks ago at the event, the Titans event in Connecticut, and I loved what Joe Sugarman, another, you know, legend of direct response marketing, what he said from the stage, and he talked about, if you remember, he talked about, I loved it. It was just so on the money, and it's so in line with what we're talking about. He talked about how he had a promotion that he put out there that didn't do as well as he would hope, and a competitor came along and, you know, and foolishly swiped it and began using it. And what Joe Sugarman said, which is so on the money, he said, and this is so true, and this is why you don't want to swipe, you know, verbatim, besides the fact that it is completely unethical, why you don't want to swipe specific copy and specific appeals and big ideas is because everything has its time, right? Like, just because a big idea, a marketing appeal worked a year ago doesn't mean that it is still going to work today. And so you could take what was a winning control, winning VSL, a winning sales letter that rocked the house a year ago or 2 years ago, and you could run it today and it could be a flop. Why? Well, for several reasons, but just to keep it focused on what we've talked about, because marketplace sophistication can be different. What was a new, fresh, unique, different idea a year ago, today might be old hat. And so you can't ever go back and see something that, you know, a complete appeal that worked a year ago or 2 years ago or even 6 months ago in some markets, markets that evolve very rapidly. Like, let's say, for example, the financial publishing arena, you can take something that rocked 6 months ago and you can get crushed with that today.
Every niche and every market is moving incredibly fast. And I think that's exactly what Gene Schwartz would have said. He would have said that an advertisement is a solution to a problem that exists at a particular point in time and in a particular place. And, you know, it's entirely conceivable that the winning VSL, they found that magic combination at a particular time and place, and then they rocked the house with it, and then they built a certain amount of brand equity at the same time that this other guy comes along, he doesn't have that solution to that point in time, point in place, and he doesn't have the brand equity either.
Yeah, I think that's spot on.
Let's talk about offer. When entering a market, how important is the offer and what particular aspects of offer, like price point, guarantee, deliverable, and so on and so forth, do you look at when you're trying to break into a new market successfully, when you're trying to find that point in time and place solution to that promotional problem?
Yeah, and so that's a great question. So there's a couple of questions within that question to really answer. So first, the question of how important is the offer? And so the offer is in terms of the actual, like, you know, copy, the messaging, the offer is one of the most important elements of any given marketing funnel or marketing promotion. The reality is that, you know, a different offer can radically bump conversions or can radically suppress conversions. And so, you know, where most, or I should say lots of average marketers, where they kind of, the offer is an afterthought for them, right? Where, you know, they're simply, they'll put together an offer like, and for just to make sure everybody understands, the offer is everything that the prospect gets, right? Everything that they get in terms of all the deliverables, the main product, the premiums that you're offering, the guarantee, and what they need to do and give to get it, right? And so it includes, of course, price point, payment terms. Is it, you know, do you accept credit card, checks, or, you know, whatever? And so that is the offer. And so whereas most marketers will, you know, they kind of, it's an afterthought. You know, for most marketers, the reality is that lots of offers that I see are, there's nothing special about them. It's kind of like, here's my product, here's what you get, here's the price, you want it, pay for it, and you get the product. And so ultimately what you are looking for and what we strive to do with every offer, not just when, let's say, when I broke into a new niche and, you know, I had, prior to the Marketing Funnel Automation brand, I had three different companies in three different niches outside of the, you know, marketing arena, working with professionals, like you mentioned at the start of our call today. Every time we create an offer, our goal is to create a truly superior and irresistible offer. And so what I mean by that is, let's break that down for 1 second. One is that it is superior, meaning so when we're constructing the offer, before we actually construct the offer, we look at what it is that competitors are offering, and we look at the full scope of their offers. And so we'll break down on a spreadsheet what exactly is the offer. So from price point, payment terms, we'll look at the main product, what are the deliverables, is it, you know, is it video, is it, if let's say we're dealing with information marketing, is it videos, is it audios, is it print, is it CDs, is it physical, is it digital, is it a membership site, how is it delivered, is it weekly, is it all in one shop. We'll look at all the deliverables, then we'll look at all of the premiums, you know, the bonuses, then we will look at we'll look at the risk reversal, you know, or the guarantee. And what is the guarantee? What's the length of the guarantee? Is it a double guarantee? Is it a money back? Is it double your money back? You know, we'll break the entire thing down. And our goal is always to create a superior offer, meaning an offer that just has a a much better value proposition compared to any other offer in the marketplace. The second criteria is what we're looking for is, and especially on the front end, especially when we're putting out offers that are designed to convert prospects into new customers, our goal is to create an irresistible offer, meaning an offer that is just an absolute no-brainer, an offer that makes the prospect say to themselves, I'd be a complete idiot to pass up on this. For what I'm getting, for compared to what I have to give, and not only in terms of the actual deliverables, but the results and outcome that the product is promising, that's the mindset that I want prospects to have, is like, wow, this is insane. And even taking it a step further, I want them to think to themselves, like, how are they able to do this and still stay in business? And I want competitors to say, wow, that's insane. I couldn't imagine going that far with my offers. I can't believe what they're doing, giving away. I can't believe the extent of their risk reversal. I can't believe the value that they're giving. And that's ultimately how we strive to structure all of our offers.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said for having an offer that's difficult to duplicate.
Yeah. I think, and that's a huge point, right? I mean, and I think it's probably a little beyond the scope of this podcast today, but I think that there's so much, that's so profound what you just said. It really is, because it's, you know, having an offer that is extremely difficult to knock off, gives you, a competitive advantage, right? It makes it that much more difficult for a competitor to come along and just take away some of your market share, take away some of your positioning, right? And that's also, you know, Daniel, that's the beauty of having a dialed marketing funnel, right? When you have a great marketing funnel that ultimately leads people to desire and lust after your product, even before you make the offer, and then once you're at the point where, you know, they're just fiending after your product, they want the solution, and then you make them an over-the-top, superior, irresistible offer, what it allows you to do is, because your conversion rate ends up being significantly higher, what you're able to do is you're able to invest a lot more than your competitors are in terms of traffic generation or in terms of what you can afford to pay to acquire a new customer. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to do that, that's how you dominate in a market, right? When competitors are wondering, like, how the heck are they able to do that? How are they making that kind of offer? How are they able to pay $2 and $3 per click when we can't afford to spend more than 80 cents a click? That's when you're able to dominate, and when you're able to just scale, 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 and just generate more and more and more new customers day in and day out. And so that's when things become extremely exciting.
Definitely. And there's something to be said for being that 800-pound gorilla. It's not a linear sort of curve that goes like, you know, market leader, number two, number three, number four, number five. It's like the leader gets like 80 to 90% of the spoils.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. So last question for you, Todd. What can folks who are intrigued, and I think a whole bunch of people are going to be intrigued, because there's nothing more intriguing than having a highly profitable front-end offer. What can folks do to find out more, get more training and information from Todd Brown?
I think there's two different resources that I would mention, both of which are completely free. One, we've got a great little four-part video series that you can go check out at the six-figure funnel formula. .com, but also we've got a great blog where we put out a bunch of phenomenal blog posts and videos and audios that really dive deeper into a lot of these areas, especially a lot of the more advanced areas related to marketing funnels. And you can find that at marketingfunnelautomation.com/blog. That's marketingfunnelautomation.com/blog.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Todd. It's been a pleasure, and we'll make sure and get those links into text. We'll put them up on the blog, send them out in emails, and thank you very much for being so generous with your time. I'll let you get back to work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
All right. Take care.
You've been listening to the Mid-Month Marketing Magic Hour with Daniel Levis. Remember to head over to daniellevis.com to claim your free report entitled The 9 Forbidden Keys to Info Marketing Success. Discover the 9 biggest secrets for driving more leads, more sales, and higher profits. And enjoy greater success in your info business today. This is Andy Thompson signing off. Until next time, good selling.